Welcome to the Life is Relationships podcast, where we share biblical truths about marriage, parenting, and discipleship. The desire of CTCI is to see the hearts of individuals and families restored in their relationship to the Father, and for them to be empowered to have thriving, godly relationships that impact the communities around them. I'm your host, AJ Selby, and on today's episode, Casey Wilson will share with us the importance of reading and studying our Bible, as well as giving us some great tools to take our studying and our relationship with God to a deeper level. Also, we wanted to give you a heads up that there were some technical issues in this episode that we didn't notice until much later. In spite of the poor audio quality, we still wanted to release this episode because this conversation was so good. We hope you enjoy the conversation and we'll be extra careful in the future. As for now, enjoy today's episode. Well, hey, Casey, thanks for coming and joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, AJ.
One of the core things that's taught to the young adult programs here at CTCI is the importance of getting in the Word and studying the Bible every day. And I know that's something that you're really passionate about. Can you walk us through what that looks like and some of what you teach here, as well as just what you've learned over in your personal life?
Sure. This is probably the thing that's closest to heart for me. It has definitely been the greatest source of fruit in my own personal life, and not just fruit, but joy and pleasure. And I really do mean that. There has been such joy in my life found from reading and understanding God's word. And I just hope that so many more, the students that come to CTCI, will learn that for themselves. The old adage, you know, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, yeah. You teach a man a fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And that is really what we want. Not that we just get people to sit down and read, but we teach them how to observe and see what God is saying and be able to understand it for themselves.
Yeah.
So practically, I mean, real practically, the simplest way that we do that is it's just part of our schedule. Mm-hmm. At CTCI, our day begins with Bible study. We get up early. The students are usually up around 6 a.m. and they'll clean up their room, make their bed, that kind of thing. But then they'll try to get to a public space where they're awake, it's lit, you know, often the coffee's rolling already, mm-hmm. and they're able to sit down and spend 30 minutes just reading the Bible and either going through a devotional that we've written. Many times it's just chapter by chapter, book by book, mm-hmm. and we'll do that week in and week out. And that's the way that they just get familiar with it.
And you talk about a public space. So what I'm hearing you say is that I shouldn't be doing my Bible study while I'm sitting in bed.
There is much wisdom in that. Yes.
It's far easier to stay awake and attentive to what it is that you're reading if you've gone to a place that's not your bedroom.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the Bible is spoken of as the sword of God. And so, I mean, it should be like, a man's pulling up his chair to a workbench or something. It should have that feel to where you know you're about to engage with something that's just holy.
Yeah.
It's different.
Right on. So, Casey, we've laid the groundwork for really what the day begins with and what it looks like here at CTCI. And so what's really like your starting point and your jump off point for getting into the Word?
Sure. AJ, everyone needs to be attending a local church and sitting underneath a professionally trained pastor, somebody who understands the Bible better than you do. And we need to be hearing God's word often. And YouTube has made it so friendly and so many other websites that are just packed full of great sermons. And we should be listening to them often. But for ourselves, we really need to get in and study the Bible ourselves. That's where the joy and the fun is when you get in and discover things on their own. Mm-hmm. And so to start, you know, it's always good for somebody to have. I'll talk about a few things here. Everyone needs to have a Bible that they love and treasure, just one that they would sit down and read, mm-hmm. and that would not necessarily be a distraction and make them go on rabbit trails all day where they're reading somebody else's commentary,
right.
That kind of thing. So,
yeah.
A general chain reference Bible or just a Bible with just the scriptures, no commentary, period. Having one of those laying around, mm-hmm. is a wonderful benefit. My personal Bible that I love, it's the one I'm using right now. And I'll tell you more about this in a minute, but it's just a two-column wide margin Bible.
And it
gives me room that I can write notes and sit down and go through it. But there's real no distraction in it. Mm-hmm. I just get to see line by line, word by word, verse by verse, and enjoy it. But secondly to that, you know, my library is filled with study Bibles, commentaries, systematic theologies. You want to wrap your mind around those things and get familiar with them, because they're just an incredible resource to us.
Absolutely.
As we study the Bible. And so everyone needs to purchase and own. This is just a plug. You need to go out and purchase and own your own ESV study Bible.
Uh-huh.
Pick it up. It's probably the best available on the market right now. When it comes to books, some general books that have become very helpful to me, a classic read that everyone needs to grab is a book called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee and Stuart Douglas.
Okay.
That book really introduces us as students on how to interpret the scriptures. Two parts in that he makes, exegesis and hermeneutics. Okay. And that's really, we're looking at what's training ourselves on how to see the original meaning of the text,
mm-hmm.
and then how to apply that to our lives today.
Yeah.
So the Bible is a collection of writings that were written thousands of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and much earlier. And so we want to know what the authors meant in that moment. And then we also need to learn how to apply that meaning to ourselves today.
Yeah. Can you just real quick go back to, there may be people listening that don't understand or have never heard of hermeneutics. And you said what?
Exegesis.
Can you explain what those two things are for them? Just real broad overview.
Sure. So the word exegesis, eisegesis, is very similar to the words inductive and deductive.
Okay.
Inductive Bible study has kind of become a brand of its own,
mm-hmm.
although it's an action. It's something that we do.
Yeah.
Inductive Bible study method, and many people do it. There are so many good resources available around that. Everyone really should look into inductive Bible study method at some point.
Yeah.
The main difference between inductive and deductive Bible study or reasoning would be, a deductive approach would mean that I have an idea and then I bring it to the scriptures and I seek to prove that conclusion, right? I seek to prove that idea that I have.
Right. So in a way, it's almost trying to fit your cultural worldview into the scripture.
Well, yeah, my ideas.
Yeah.
And that's so dangerous, AJ, because, I mean, for most of us that are new to the scriptures, we're coming out of, I mean, I didn't get saved till I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got 18 years of knowledge and reasoning and thoughts in my head. And that's what I'm bringing to the Bible.
Yeah.
And I place all of that on it. And I really need to learn to put that down. And that's where inductive Bible study is so valuable, because it teaches us to come to the Word of God as students.
Yeah.
So we're starting with observation, and we let those observations prove, you know, themselves through interpretation, and then we apply that into our life.
Yeah.
And that's the step that we want to work through. And exegesis and eisegesis would be similar terms. We're allowing the Bible to tell us rather than us tell the Bible.
Yeah. And then the hermeneutics.
Hermeneutics is really it's a toolbox that you'll use for your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably the best way to understand this is there's different hermeneutics that people will bring to the Bible when they're studying it. Okay. You sit down and you have a set of tools that are in your mind and in your heart that you're using on how you process through the meaning of the words. So the best book on this is a book called Grasping God's Word. It's a thick one, but everyone should buy it. And it's by Duvall and Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach in there what's called the grammatical historical hermeneutic. And basically what that means is you're letting the Bible, the grammar of the Bible, tell you, and the history of the Bible tell you first before you put your own language and own clothing onto the scriptures.
Gotcha.
And so to make it really simple, we need to be students to just let the scriptures speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll find the growth. Discover what God is saying. And it really needs to be seen as that. Don't come as a person who's wise and all-knowing and you're trying to prove your thesis by using the scriptures. You want to come humbly to the scriptures and let the scriptures reveal themselves.
Absolutely.
You're kneeling before God Almighty when you sit before that Bible. And you're allowing a king, you're allowing the creator of heaven and earth
mm-hmm.
reveal himself to you. And that should be a humble you know, posture that we take.
Yeah. It's so cool to think about it in that way of being in the position of having God revealing himself to you. And it's such a really intimate thing. That's really great.
So to wrap that up, AJ, do find yourself a great study Bible. Use them as a tool. Get yourself a great Bible that you're familiar with, that you love and enjoy. Pick up Gordon Fee's book on how to read the Bible, or go even deeper and grab Duvall's book, Grasping God's Word.
Yeah.
Those will teach you how to handle the scripture in the right way. Mm-hmm. What I've learned, rather than sitting down and trying to apply inductive Bible study methods, which you can find, you know, inductive Bible study that you can get one, you can purchase an actual inductive Bible or inductive study Bible, or you can pick up materials from Kay Arthur. The Navigators were really big into inductive Bible study. Calvary Chapel Church is known for teaching inductive Bible study method. And it's fabulous. Everyone needs to go through it at some point. Mm-hmm. But everyone does it a little different.
Yeah.
And for some, you know, you'll be looking at the grammar in every single word, and you'll be drawing all over your Bible.
Yeah.
And so every time you hear the word gospel, you're drawing this microphone in your Bible, or you know, every time you see the word Israel, you're drawing the Star of David. Or every time you see the word kingdom, you're drawing a crown.
Yeah.
And it's visually that you're trying to make sense out of the words and understand what they mean. Well, that can become a total distraction, you know, when you're actually just wanting to sit down and read the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one chapter can end up taking you a whole week to get through, just by, even if not just five verses.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need to do that in order to understand what it's saying. Mm-hmm. But there's also a point where, you know, what's a simple approach that every person could have every morning when they sit down that would be helpful?
Yeah.
And so for me, this is my daily routine. This is how I approach the scriptures every morning, basically. This is how I read them.
Yeah.
I've come to look for four different things when I read the Bible. And these four things, they really come from, well, let me give you the background to them before I tell you exactly how it looked.
Yeah.
There's a couple of books that make mention of these four things, and it's been around forever. This is not a new idea. It's a way of understanding the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's been around forever. One book that's very small, very easy to read. Everyone should pick it up. It's just titled "What Is the Gospel" by Greg Gilbert. Mm-hmm. And in that book, there's four questions right in chapter one that are raised. And the questions are: who made you? Mm-hmm. What is your problem, or what is the problem of life? Right? What is God's solution, and how do I respond? And so it poses these questions to begin to make you think about God, about mankind, and the struggles of life and the fall of mankind. Mm-hmm. It makes you think about Jesus. And then how do we respond? What's the Christian response?
Yeah.
Okay. And those four questions have always been around. They come right out of Romans. It's really Paul's way of getting us to understand the gospel. Okay. Another book that did a fabulous job with this, Total Truth by Nancy Piercy.
Okay.
A wonderful book. It's on the Christian worldview, or on Christian worldview. And right in the beginning, part one, chapter one, Christian worldview, she introduces this exact same four-piece puzzle. And she calls it creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. And she notes that some people would call that last one glorification.
Okay.
Okay. And so we're beginning to see multiple authors and writers and people talk about this. Mm-hmm. The ESV Study Bible, which I mentioned, the very first article in the back of it, after you get done with Revelations, is a article on God's plan of salvation. And the way that they teach that, God's plan of salvation, is they give an overview, and they talk about creation, rebellion, redemption, and consummation. And then they go in greater detail, and they talk about God, man, Jesus' response.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this theme is just, it's everywhere. Okay. Matt Chandler wrote a wonderful book that everyone should read called The Explicit Gospel.
Okay.
Explicit meaning it's just totally unveiled. There's nothing covering it. It's clear as day. You can see every bit of it. And the whole book is broken into three parts, the last just being a conclusion and summary. But the first two, he He calls it the gospel on the ground, and then the second part, the gospel in the air. And the gospel on the ground is really this up-close portrait view, okay? Up-close, it's like walking the city streets of New York is the way he defines it, right? And we're looking at God, and we're looking at man, and we're looking at Christ. We're looking at the Christian response. Mm-hmm. We're looking at those characters, those people. And then he zooms out, and he gives this big landscape view, right? And he, from like a 30,000-foot lens, and he talks about creation, fall and redemption and consummation. And so those four things that are recognized by countless authors. Mm-hmm. And the people I mentioned are just some of the ones that are alive today. This has been around forever.
Yeah.
But those four things, God, man, Jesus, and response, is really what I have come to look for every time I sit down and read the Bible. And so I'll sit down. Practically, this is what it looks like for me. I'll sit down in the morning, and I've got my Bible that I read every day, and then I've got this little, you know, coin purse, and it's got some pens in there, and I've got four different colors, one that I use to underline or highlight everything that I want in regards to God, mm-hmm. okay? Scriptures that just declare who he is and his nature, mm-hmm. And then there's scriptures that just talk about man and mankind and the fall of man and our sin nature and what we're struggling with and the vices of this world. And then you talk about Jesus, and there's a separate color I use for that. And then a last color I use to talk about the Christian response to Jesus.
Okay. Gotcha.
And for me, the reason why that's so valuable is take a book like Romans, and you sit down and Romans intros with this beautiful Thanksgiving and prayer. And then it immediately jumps into three chapters about the fall of mankind, mm-hmm. and just about how all of us are fallen and guilty before God.
Yeah.
And then midway through chapter three, okay, it turns and it begins to talk and prepare you for this story of redemption. Mm. Chapters, you know, midway through three, all the way through five, it's all about redemption, mm-hmm. faith. Okay. And then in chapter six, we get into the Christian response. But for me, when I look at my Bible, I can look at it and I see what helps me is I see those colors. And so I'm looking down, realizing that the themes that Paul is presenting here is, well, he's really hammering on the fall of man for the first three chapters. Mm-hmm. He wants this to be understood. He wants it to be clear.
Yeah.
And then he transitions. And this is not just Romans. If you read Ephesians and you had that framework in your head, you would see the same breakdown.
Yeah.
Almost all the letters, if you read them, you'll see these patterns where Paul or the other authors are taking you from a picture of God to a fallen picture of man to Christ being the response or the redeemer and the savior of our issues.
Yeah.
And then the Christian response, the way that we respond to Jesus. And I just found for myself and for students at CTCI, when they can sit down and they can see those four things, that really helps them to be able to begin to connect with the scriptures. Mm-hmm. They don't muddy the chapters about, you know, a fallen, lost people with them if they're now a restored, redeemed, purchased son of God.
Yeah.
You know, and vice versa. If I'm lost, I'm not reading scriptures, looking at scriptures that are for the church and for those that have been rescued as if that's my now position with God.
Yeah.
Right. We need to make sure that we express and understand that before Christ and without him, we stand as enemies of God. Mm-hmm. And after Christ, we stand as sons of God. Mm-hmm. Our nature and identity is totally changed.
Yeah.
And we can't muddy those as we read through scriptures because we really, it confuses us on how to respond to God.
Yeah. It sounds like that process of having that framework going into what it is that you're reading really makes something that may seem, you know, overwhelming or kind of over your head, it makes it far more digestible for you to be able to relate to it.
Yeah. I mean, if I told you there was 30 symbols you had to memorize and you had to learn grammar again, and we all forgot that, right?
Yeah.
In order to read the Bible, you would get lost. You'd start to stumble over yourself.
Yeah.
And we should do that at some point. Mm-hmm. But in a very simple sense, for every one of us, we can all sit down and say, okay, what is this saying about God? Mm-hmm. What is this saying about a fallen, lost people? Where does it talk about Jesus? And where does it mention how I should respond if I believe that Jesus is my Savior?
Yeah.
That's simple for any of us.
Absolutely. Man, this has been so great. As we're getting ready to wrap up today, what are some final thoughts you'd like to give the listeners today as we get ready to close out?
Sure. First, I would say, AJ, go and purchase a new Bible. I highly recommend, this is just my own habit, that somebody purchases a new Bible every 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because as you grow in Bible study, you're going to find a new translation that you like and you'll prefer it. You're going to want a different size. You'll want a different layout and format. You'll realize that you'll read through some of your old Bible study notes and you'll realize that there's a lot of false truth in there that you wrote on top of that.
Right.
Right. And so it's just a process. It's really a picture of us developing as children of God. Mm-hmm. And so I recommend you go and buy one. It's the most precious possession in the world. And so we need to approach it with great reverence. Mm-hmm. And we need to gift it to people with great reverence. Mm-hmm. It's not to be handled lightly.
Yeah.
And so we need to get one. We need to buy one. We need to use it often. We need to mark it up. We need to be willing to put it on a shelf and get a new one and go through that same process. But just practically, there's two things, AJ, and I will close this out shortly. There's two things that somebody should approach the scriptures with. And one is that we should be aiming at the head. And then secondly, we should be aiming for the heart.
Okay.
Okay. And so when I say aiming at the head, I'm talking about we need to become students of the scripture. Mm-hmm. You need time once a week, twice a week, if you can get it, where you can get alone with the Bible for hours, mm-hmm. for 1 to 3 hours, where you could deal with difficult theological issues or doctrines or read things that you just don't usually get to read. Deep studies in God's word. We all need this, mm-hmm. right? But then we also need that daily, every morning, 30-minute to an hour experience where God warms our hearts and prepares us for the day that's in front of us.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to schedule that. We need to actually find the time to do that. Mm-hmm. That was actually one of my favorite things. When I first got married with Erica, our work schedules were such that I got off work much earlier than she did. She started much later than I did. So I had 2 or 3 hours every day when I got home from work, mm-hmm. and I could just sit and read and read and read and study. And it was the best way that a newly married man without children could spend his time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's it. Chase after deep, rich study material for your head. You know, mm-hmm. do that. Go through that time. Set aside time for that. And then every morning, have that time where you can sit down and just prepare your heart. There's a great quote, a gentleman I just love, someone who's really impacted my life. His name was George Mueller. And George Mueller lived in the 1800s. He lived almost that entire century. And some of the facts behind him, he cared for 10,000 orphans in his life. He established over 100 schools.
Wow.
He educated over 120,000 children.
Jeez.
The numbers behind his life is that in today's value, he raised over $130 million for the gospel, for the work that he did. Hmm. Building orphanages, providing food, housing, school, literature, Bibles, tracts, everything about it.
Yeah.
The miracle behind this is the man did it in large without asking for a single penny. Hmm. It was all through prayer. He would post needs, but he would never go and ask people individually for funds. Mm-hmm. He would tell people what he's doing or talk about the needs of the children, but he would never go and directly ask you for, $1 million grant or something like that.
Yeah.
And he is a total example of faith. Mm-hmm. But he expresses in his autobiography what God did in him every morning. And let me just read this little quote. Mm-hmm. And he says, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man may be nourished. I saw that the most important thing I had to do was give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation. Mm-hmm. And so he talks in his autobiography how he went from a place of waking up and immediately entering into this kind of tarrying and prayer for all the worries and concerns of his day and wrestling in scripture with deep things. And he realized it was so much better to wake up and to just kind of sit in awe of who God is.
Yeah.
To make his heart happy in the Lord. And that's what we should do. We should approach the scriptures every morning, and we should read them until our hearts are satisfied in it. Until we can approach the difficulties of life knowing that God is good. And so that would be my summary to you, that you would just commit to read the Bible. Read it often. Read deep books. Read the Bible. Set aside a time to read it. Consider those big four things, right, that you, those ideas, God, look for God in the scriptures, look for fallen man, look for Jesus, the Redeemer, look for the Christian response, how Paul and Timothy and Peter and how believers are responding to Jesus, okay, and then when we get alone with God, we need to make sure that we just seek to make our hearts happy in him. Yeah.
Well, gosh, that is so rich and so good. Thank you so much, Casey, for coming and talking with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, AJ.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and we would love if you left us a review. For more information about CTCI and our upcoming programs, be sure to check out ctcilife.org. This podcast is a production of Christian Training Center International. It is produced by AJ Selby, Rebecca Wall, and Seth Stradling. It is edited, mixed, and mastered by AJ Selby.